Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Appreciate you listening to AFR. We're going to be here for the next hour and 25 minutes. We got so much to talk about today on the program. It's in the news, both in the church and in the world. And so we will be discussing a lot of topics today I think you're going to find of interest. Joining me to do this is Dr. Ray Pritchard from Kansas City. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, doing good, Tim. How are you?
That's taking me some getting used to. Because you've been in Dallas for, what, 5 years or so?
5 years, and now up here in KC.
KC. Now, the winters are different, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like halfway between Chicago and Dallas. So, yeah, you get more cold, you get more of this rainy, wet weather than we got in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. But, Coach, you spent how many years in exile in Chicago?
Let's see, almost 17 years in Chicago. No, those winters were tough. It's not Canadian winters, Fred, but it's tough.
It is. I mean, you're not that far from the Buffaloes and the Detroits. And
hey, I'll bet you in Chicago in January, I don't care how environmentally friendly you are, you're hoping for global warming.
You're praying for it.
Even if you're an atheist.
That's right.
I think you're praying for global warming.
And if that doesn't work out, you're buying a ticket to Cancun. That's what you're doing.
South.
All right. That's right. Fred Jackson also with me, news director for us here at AFR. Good morning, Fred.
Great to be here.
And Walker Wildman, now a seasoned veteran of Today's Issues. You've been doing this show how long now?
A little over 2 years.
2 years. So you were just how many years out of college when you started doing this?
Well, I was about a year out of college when I started the radio.
Yeah, good. All right, so what are you doing besides sharing your intellectual prowess? What else are you doing?
Well, I appreciate the compliment this early on
the show.
You know
what prowess means, son.
Well, I know what intellectual means, okay. And I'm assuming it's a compliment.
It sounds good.
Yeah, we're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube, so both places you can watch the show. Just type in Today's Issues. You'll find our channel or our page on Facebook and YouTube. And then, of course, we're posting the news articles, many of the news sources, links from onenewsnow.com.
Okay.
And, of course, you can always visit AFR.net, our website, and listen to the show there.
Hey, let me mention real quickly a couple things, and then we'll get to our news topics for the day related to our tours. We've got our Holy Land trip set now for March of 2019. We have to do this a year in advance, or else you don't get hotel rooms, and the airlines book up and so forth. So we've gone ahead and booked our dates for March 14th through the 22nd. And it's our annual trip to Israel. We'd love to have you go. If you've never been to the Holy Land, you've always wanted to go, don't wait till you don't have your health any longer or you run out of money. You need to go to the Holy Land if you want to go and you're a Christian and you can afford it. Obviously, it costs money to go, but we'd love to have you. If you want a brochure, a lot of people want brochures to hold in their hand and read, and that's fine. We have those available. Not everything has to be on the internet, although the tour brochure is on the internet. But if you want a brochure sent to you to your mailbox about the Holy Land tour in 2019, March, just call us, and we will get that out to you today. The number is 800 Families, 800 FAMILIES. That's translated 1-800-326-4543, option 5. 1-800 Families, FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address and request the Holy Land brochure. Now, when you do that, don't say, "Hey, this is Jim Simmons from Topeka, Kansas. Please send me a brochure. Thank you." Don't do that, because we have people do that, and it's very frustrating for our folks who retrieve the addresses because they come in and say, Tim, they didn't leave their address. They just said their name and town. So make sure you leave your complete address when you request their brochure. Also, we have 6 seats left on the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour in September. We're down to 6 seats left. So that all that information is at spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. Just 6 seats left on the September, that's this year, tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. That's the spiritual heritage tour that we take twice a year. The Holy Land tour on the internet is available at twholyland.com. That's Tim Wildman, twholyland.com. Yes, Fred.
And if you haven't been to the Holy Land, I cannot encourage you enough. Go.
Yeah.
You know, it is absolutely incredible. You will never forget it. I went first time in 1984.
Oh, is that right?
And it was worth every penny. It really was. It was just incredible.
Well, for people who say, is it safe? You know, is Nashville safe? Is Chicago safe? What about Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
You read stories, bad stories out of those, all over America,
any big city, right?
Yeah. So yes, it's safer than most big American cities. What's in the news, Fred?
Well, first I just want to mention that Walker's formal attire lasted one day.
The Monday tie?
Monday tie.
Yeah.
It looked good, didn't it?
It really did.
While it lasted.
I've never seen Walker with a tie.
He's back to a summer shirt now.
Oh, yeah. Too warm out there.
Too warm. All right. Let's go to the news of the day. New York City is the dateline on this story. I think most of our listeners are familiar with the Me Too movement. Remember Harvey Weinstein, I think, was the first case that was out there. And one of the legal officials in this country that came out hard against Harvey Weinstein and his, I guess we still have to say, alleged abuse of women, one of those individuals was New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. And back earlier this year, he filed a lawsuit against Weinstein and his company following the investigation. And Schneiderman said the company broke New York law by failing to protect employees from, quote, pervasive sexual harassment, intimidation, and discrimination. So that was the Attorney General of New York against Harvey Weinstein.
Okay.
All right.
Weinstein, of course, is the
Hollywood
movie mogul who is in trouble. He's got like dozens and dozens of women who've accused him of sexual assault, basically, and harassment over the last couple of decades.
Yep. He's not a friend to Donald Trump.
So what you're saying is the New York State Attorney General went after Weinstein.
Yes.
Weinstein. And now it turns out he's got his own problems, right?
Does he ever? He resigned late last night.
Okay.
After a New York newspaper.
What's his name?
His name is Eric Schneiderman.
Okay.
Eric Schneiderman. Yesterday, a New York newspaper published reports from 4 women who have dated Mr. Schneiderman, and they reported that he abused them. Now, here's the story. 2 of those women identified themselves. They came right out.
Okay.
They've given us their names. These are women who dated him, all right? And I don't want to get too graphic with this. I want to be very careful. But he, in a statement that he issued last night, even admits that he did consensual things with him that people might describe as rough.
Right.
All right? Right. Enough said.
Right.
He, after much pressure last night, first he said he wasn't going to resign. Last night he did, under pressure from other Democrats in New York, but he still denies that he did anything wrong. He said everything was consensual.
Well, these people who resign when they say they did nothing wrong.
That baffles me.
Yeah, just, you know, I didn't agree with the doctor that the president put forth who resigned. Before he even got started last week. When was that, 2 weeks ago?
That was last week.
Dr. Jackson.
Yeah. I would have told him, listen, you know, you're going to get hit hard for things you didn't even do. You know, get ready. You ready to take this? Because I'm going to put your name out there. But I don't want to get too far afield from this. So this is a this Attorney General of the state of New York, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he resigned. Yep. So, Ray, any thoughts on this?
It was amazing to me how fast this happened, Tim. That, first of all, most of us had barely ever heard of this guy's name. The story breaks like about, 7 o'clock last night, and he's denying everything. And then almost before you can turn around, he has suddenly resigned. I think in a situation like this, you've got to believe there must be something behind it, or else why would he have stepped? Right. Why would he have resigned, especially so quickly?
Mm-hmm. Now, he has, I think what happened in this, though, he has admitted that he did certain rough things during what he calls, I think, romantic encounters.
Is he married?
If he is, I don't know.
It doesn't say.
What kind of what he, I don't believe he is. No.
Surely okay. not.
No.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, so he resigned. So that's the point is that he went after Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
And he himself now was evidently engaged in some things that were similar,
mm-hmm.
right? Although, you know, I mean, I don't know all the details of this. I would just say that there's a difference. Now, all this is sin. Yeah. Okay, don't get me wrong. This is sin in the eyes of God. Any kind of sexual immorality is wrong and always is and sinful. Mm-hmm. However, I would distinguish between consensual and non-consensual sex between adults. One's rape and the other one is just immoral.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
These women are coming forward saying that he physically was abusive with them, right?
Yeah. While they were out on dates with him.
That's the point. He may not have broken the law per se, but they're saying that he was abusive towards them, right?
Correct. Physically abusive.
Okay. But it is a big deal in the sense that the a person who is the Attorney General for the state of New York, that is a stepping stone to larger national political politics oftentimes.
Correct.
That's a statewide office,
mm-hmm.
and it's a big deal
mm-hmm.
in the state of New York. So that's interesting that he would resign. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, wherever. Most Tuesdays, Dr. Frank Turek joins us from Cross Examine because he has a show on the weekend here on American Family Radio. And we like to cross promote. Frank likes to cross examine. We like to cross promote what he's going to be talking about this weekend. So we will do that now, and we'll talk to him about a question related to the scriptures. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better. How are you guys?
You do beyond great. Where do you go from there?
I go right to Jesus. How about you?
Hello. How are you supposed to? Huh?
Come on,
that.
Yeah. Well, that trumps everything. That trumps everything. You know, last week I was reading a column by it was somebody, Frank. It was one of our brothers in the Lord.
Uh huh.
Some writer, and he was telling me. Wasn't directing to me this personally, but he was writing a column on how Christians shouldn't support Donald Trump, President mm-hmm. Trump, you know, that we're being hypocrites. Mm-hmm. You know, he's had a relationship with a porn star and mm-hmm. other things, and, you know, we're selling our souls to support President Trump. Mm. And I thought, you know, no, I'm not. I'm not selling my soul to... I'm supporting what he supports that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And if he supports something that's not good, I'll do that too. And I'll also be critical. Who's standing up saying, hey, good for you, Donald Trump, you know, having this affair? Nobody's doing that. So
I hope not.
I decided not to. I thought that was
you
bad.
Did?
Yeah, I thought that was bad.
It's a wise move on your
well,
part.
Well, I thought it'd be bad on AFA, you know. The president came out and said that didn't matter. The president of ministry came out and said that it didn't matter. There was a point I was going to make the whole conversation right there, but I completely forgot it midstream.
Well, I was going to say it does matter what the guy's personal life is.
It does matter.
It does.
It does matter. No, it does matter. But what I'm saying is, these people who are attacking us, for example, people who supported President Trump when he ran against Hillary Clinton, and are now saying, "See, I told you so. This guy is a slimeball."
We didn't know that he had these issues prior.
Right.
Everyone knew that.
Yeah.
The problem is we didn't have
too many
we
choices.
Didn't have two
did
good choices. I mean,
no.
What are you going
to
do?
And I will say this, to the president's credit, he has done a lot of the things he promised the Christian community he would do.
That's right.
When he ran. So a lot of these folks, I guess they would have preferred Hillary Clinton.
No, obviously you could find personal fault with both of these mm-hmm. candidates. There's no question about it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and also you got to remember that when you're talking about a national election like president, well, any a state election for that matter, it's the will of the broad general voting public, not just the will of the Christian community. You know who mm-hmm. will win. So we're a part of the decision, but we're not the decision makers. All together, and I don't think we're supposed to just quit and go home if
no.
you know when the perfect candidate doesn't win in a primary, for example.
How come you didn't win in the primary, Tim? That's what I'm
I didn't run and never
come
going
on.
To.
Gee.
Didn't go. I am not doing that. I'm not doing that. Walker May.
Negative.
Walker may have a negative. Bright future in politics.
I'm voting for you, Walker.
He's on the road. But I'm not going to do it. Or as President George Bush said, not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Or Danny Carby, one of the others. Said not,
one of those two.
Not going to do it. Hey, let's talk about a Bible question.
Yeah.
Let's give our listeners a little whiplash here. I wanted to ask you, I asked you this morning before the show, what can we talk about listeners would be interested in from the Scripture? And you said what, Frank?
Well, let's talk about miracles,
right.
You know, because a lot of people don't believe in miracles today, and I guess maybe the first question
President
we should address,
Trump does.
He does, that's right.
Because he
Hillary
won
Clinton
by a
does, too,
yeah.
apparently, because it was a miracle that she lost, apparently, right?
True.
But no, really, with regard to miracles, there's a lot of people don't believe in miracles today, and there's a number of reasons for that. But when people say, are miracles possible, the answer is, if God exists, miracles are possible. Now, what evidence do we have that God exists? Well, one piece of evidence we have that God exists is something that even atheists admit, and that is the universe literally had a beginning out of nothing. That once there was nothing, no space, matter, or time, and then the entire space-time continuum leapt into existence out of non-being. Well, if that's the case, if space-time and matter had a beginning out of nothing, as even atheists today admit, then it seems to me that whatever created space-time and matter can't be made of space-time and matter. In other words, the cause must be spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful to create the universe out of nothing, personal in order to choose to create, also intelligent because you got to have intelligence to make a choice. Now, when you think about a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, personal, intelligent cause, who do you think of? I think of God. There's got to be a being out there with those attributes. Well, a lot of people can't wrap their heads around a resurrection or a great flood or Noah or Jonah or walking on water or parting the Red Sea. They go, yeah, I can't believe any of that. Look, none of those miracles are hard if God exists. And the greatest miracle in the Bible is actually the first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If that verse is true, every other verse is believable. And even atheists are admitting the data that Genesis 1:1 appears to be true. They try and say somebody else created the universe or something else or there's some other explanation, but it seems to me the best explanation is God. And if Genesis 1:1 is true, every other verse is at least possible. So are miracles possible? Yeah, because God exists. And what evidence do we have that God exists? One piece of evidence is the universe came into existence out of nothing.
Hmm. All right, let me ask you this question. I agree with you. If you believe in a supernatural, all-powerful, omnipresent God who created everything, then the miracles are not hard to believe either. But you get into some stories in the Bible we all learned as children where you go, that sounds hokey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Like Jonah living in the belly of a whale.
Right.
Come on, Frank. You
that
believe
is
that?
Hokey. It is hokey.
Could that not be a could that not be a metaphor?
Oh well, it could be. The problem is Jesus referred to it as if it was real. He applied his own life to Jonah and to Noah. Now, if Jesus believes Noah and Jonah are historical, in other words, they're not hysterical; they're historical. then I'm going to go with Jesus because I just have a personal policy. Anybody who rises from the dead,
me too.
I believe.
I'm going with y'all. I'm going with you and Jesus.
All right. Good.
Okay.
Good.
One other one. Mm-hmm. 2x2 on the ark, floating
crazy.
Around out there.
Crazy.
With all kind of little animals.
It's crazy.
Could that not be a metaphor?
Well, it could be, but it's not because Jesus referred to it as literal. Now, Noah built the ark out of gopher wood. Now, some people don't know what gopher wood is. I think I know what it is. It's when Noah said to his sons, hey, gopher wood.
But it would be a metaphor. It would be an allegory, I should say.
Yeah, an allegory.
All right, well, just
hey, by the way, Tim, it's just about every ancient culture has a great flood story.
True.
Now, why do you think that is?
Because it happened.
Because maybe there was one.
It did happen. I want to ask, for the record, please don't email, call, write, or quit donating to this ministry because Tim Wilde is a heretic. He doesn't believe in the Bible. I was only asking those questions in that tone so that because that's what Frank gets all the time when he goes and speaks, and I wanted him to address that. Ray, what do you think about what Frank's talked about the last few minutes?
Well, of all the things that he said, and it's also supremely important, Frank, I think I would like to hear you reemphasize the fact that this is what Jesus believed. I mean, we can talk about science, we can talk about probabilities, and we can talk about things that don't make any sense to us. But Frank, tell us again, just emphasize for our listeners, why is it important for us to understand that if Jesus believed in this, he gets the deciding vote. Why is that so important?
Well, because if he rose from the dead, he's God, and whatever God teaches is true. Now, let me hasten to say this, though, Ray. You can be a Christian and think Noah and Jonah were allegories. I just think that's
right.
Illogical. You know, I just think it's hard for me to think that somebody's a Christian and disagrees with Jesus.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, we have
a problem here.
Yeah, and by the way, this is true not just of the biblical issues, but even some of the cultural issues. You know, if you want to bring up a controversial issue like same-sex marriage, I think sometimes you can just say to people, so you disagree with Jesus on this?
Right.
You know, because he said marriage is between a man and a woman. I mean,
right.
just put Jesus on your side. Well, you're actually on his side. He's not on your side, right?
Right.
It's like that famous quote from Lincoln, you know, do you think God's on our side? And Lincoln said, I hope we're on his side.
Hey, Frank, what's the show on this weekend and what's your website?
I think it's going to be on miracles, I hope.
Oh, really? Okay.
We'll talk more about – here, I think we're going to talk about – we've done several shows recently on miracles, but I think this show we're going to talk about why don't more miracles occur.
Okay.
In other words, yeah, we've got some good documented evidence for miracles, not just from the Bible, but I mean even in modern times, but – let's be honest. They don't happen very often. Why is that? You know, why would God heal somebody from a disease but not heal somebody like Nabil Qureshi, right? Who was a Muslim who became a Christian and saved many Muslims, and he didn't heal Nabil. He died at the age of 34.
Okay,
why is that?
Cross Examined will be on American Family Radio live on Saturday morning at 9.
At 9 Central,
Central time.
10 Eastern. Yes, sir.
9
Crossexamine.org.
9 Central, 10 Eastern.
That's right.
Saturday mornings, Frank is on live, and he's talking about these kinds of issues. You'll find the show very engaging and interesting. I hope you'll tune in right here on American Family Radio. If you want to check Frank's website out, go to Crossexamined. That's just one word, crossexamined.org. Frank, thanks so much.
Great being with you guys. Hey, go for wood, will you?
Hey. Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
Got a question.
Hit me.
First and only state mentioned in the Bible?
Oh, that's a tough one. Tell me.
Noah opened the
ark and saw?
Yeah, there you go, Frank.
Very good. Hey, wait. What kind of lights did Noah have on the
what?
Ark? Floodlights.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Though Peter was the spokesmouth for the satanic suggestion to Jesus. He doesn't say, Peter, you are a wicked and devilish human being. No, he says, get behind me, Satan. He identifies the hand behind the puppet, you see.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. It's graduation time across the Fruited Plain. High school seniors taking finals, and in Heard County, Georgia, they are engaging in prankery. Unfortunately, a group of seniors at the high school took their prank a bit too far. They spray-painted an American flag with the words, Seniors 2018, hung the flag over the school's front doors. Principal Brent Tisdale was furious, but after speaking with the teenagers, he realized the students did not understand the magnitude of what they had done. The boys did not realize they had desecrated Old Glory. So he called the police department and asked if they could send over some veterans, and they did. Put them all in a room. The veterans told their stories about sacrifice and duty and honor, all wrapped in that red, white, and blue flag. By the end of the meeting, the boys showed great remorse. They apologized, shook the hands of the local heroes. A lesson I suspect those boys will never forget. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. You're listening to AFR, 184 stations across the country that we own and operate. And wherever you may be listening across this great land of ours, we appreciate you tuning in to American Family Radio. We're a Christian radio network, and we're committed to informing the Christian community on what's happening in our country. We have sound Bible teachers on here every day, so you can trust the doctrine that we promote. Now, we're not going to agree with everybody's doctrine every time, all day, every day. You're going to find something you don't like, probably, but I think we're definitely in the mainstream of what is called evangelical theological beliefs here in America, and the scriptures, and we appreciate everyone, whatever stripe you are, listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray, and you can find us on the internet. You want to watch the show on the internet, you can go to Facebook and type in Today's Issues and watch the show live there. Walker also posts the stories that we talk about, and YouTube as well, Today's Issues. Now, we're about to talk about something regarding the, was Sandy on?
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about what I'm not going to tell you. We're going to talk about a little bit later, and that's what you call a tease right there.
There you go.
So you better hang in there, because after Sandy, we're going to talk about what I was going to tell you what he's going to talk about. All right, Sandy, good morning to you.
I want to talk about what you think you're going to talk about.
Because you want to know what I'm going to talk about.
I
don't
do.
You,
Sandy? Yeah, it worked for me. Yeah. The G's worked for me.
Well, I'm going to text you. I'll text you.
All right.
I don't want to give it away to the rest of the listening audience. Okay. Hey, Sandy, was listening to your program this morning coming in, and your guests were talking about the CIA director. She's not yet to be confirmed. The nominee to be the head of the CIA. Seems to what's her name?
Gina Haspel.
Okay, her name's been submitted by President Trump, right?
Yes.
Okay, I guess she's getting it from both sides then, because she's not. Your guest this morning was not supportive of her, and I didn't get the sense that you were either, because of she rose through the ranks under the Obama Brennan, team there at the Brennan was the leader of the CIA, but then she's getting it from the left because she supports waterboarding or something, and of course if President Trump's for her, then the left's automatically against her. Doesn't matter who she is. So what do we think about this situation?
I think this is probably exhibit A of the confusion that's been around the president and his foreign policy prior to John Bolton taking over as national security advisor. They're still in flux there with the personnel. Remember that the guy who replaced, who I just, I'm just going
Brennan?
Back. He was, no, the national security advisor.
John Bolton.
Who's
John Bolton.
Before John Bolton.
H.R.
McMaster was really, really on the left. He would have been a national security advisor if Hillary Clinton had been elected. And he surrounded himself with Obama leftists. And so President Trump always had these mixed messages. You know, all the really good guys like Sebastian Gorka and other people whose names you wouldn't know, excuse me, were purged from the National Security Council. And so President Trump has been receiving mixed messages about national security issues for most of his year in office.
Yeah.
Now it's in transition. So all that to say, Gina Haspel is the pick of John Brennan. That's his fair-haired girl. That's who he wants to see, along with...
But let me ask you this. Could you not... I understand that, but could you not be still well-qualified and worthy of the job, even though you work for somebody who we don't like, that is, we conservatives don't like politically? Because, I mean, a lot of these folks in these career agencies like the FBI or the CIA, they don't speak out politically on issues, but they just do their job and they do it well and they're qualified. And then, so if they happen to work under a boss we don't agree with, do you necessarily cross them off?
Well, I think it's a little more complicated than that.
No, it's not. That's how I've laid it out, Sandy. And I demand that you answer. Okay.
Well, let's put it this way. When we look to political candidates, let's just say, one of the ways that we can tell a lot about them is who's supporting them. Even if we don't particularly know what they exactly would do on certain issues, we can see who's lining up behind them. When you see who's lining up behind Gina, it's a John Brennan. You caught me off guard with talking about her, Tim, so I don't have the names.
Yeah.
But it's the other national security guys who, it's not a matter of difference in politics.
Okay.
We're talking about a guy who is leading the coup, the unconstitutional coup, the counter-government against President Trump and against constitutional conservatism. John Brennan is the ringleader. It's not like he... prefers, donkeys over elephants. He is a subversive former leader of the CIA. He voted for the Communist Party candidate in 1980. John Brennan is a subversive.
Sandy, here's the golden question, if that's even a saying. Here's the key question. If my instinct agrees with you on Haspel and her associations and her ideology, why on earth does President Trump pick her? He's the commander-in-chief. He makes the final say.
Somebody recommended her to him.
Why pick someone?
Somebody recommended her.
Who might be totally at odds with you in varying, issues.
Well, Walker, think of it this way. You guys are in leadership there at AFA, and you have a big ship, a very big ship. You've got 100, I don't know how many employees, but over 100. You've got statewide entities. You've got so much going on. There's no way that, you know, you could know about every appointment. Think of how many people he's appointing. So you trust somebody, and they say to you, hey, this is the person. I mean, man, she's wonderful. And so you go, hey, you go before the mic, you say, this is the woman. She's wonderful. He can't sit down and read all the resumes. He's trying to operate a very big ship, yeah, manage North Korea, Syria, Iran deal, you know, all of that. So we have to give him some slack on that. And remember, think of Bob Mueller when he was appointed. Wasn't he wonderful? Oh, and the Republicans told us that, didn't they? Why, he's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. And the president probably echoed, he's a man of integrity, whatever they, you fill in the blank. That was really not true. And so there are a lot of concerns about Gina Haspel. Why is John Brennan so excited about, John Brennan, the leader of the resistance, why is he so excited about Gina Haspel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you think of a good reason? I can't.
No. Yes, Fred.
Just a question for you, Sandy. I have to assume that Mike Pompeo, now Secretary of State, but recently the director of the CIA, which Ms. Haspel, that's the job she's going for. You would have to think that President Trump consulted with Mike Pompeo because she has been 2IC at the CIA. So
she's been what?
Second in command. Sorry.
Oh.
Military term.
Oh, sorry, I didn't understand what.
Yeah,
Spanish.
She's
big Latin.
She's been second in command at the CIA under Mike Pompeo. So I have to think that President Trump had some kind of conversation with Mike Pompeo about her.
Yeah.
So do you think conversation?
That's conflicting.
It is.
Go ahead.
This is inside the baseball, and not necessarily good news, but I think that that's true. I think Mike Pompeo has recommended Gina Haspel, but people that I know who are in the know would tell you that Mike Pompeo did not ever really fully engage the CIA. He didn't really make changes and shake things up. It's still John Brennan's CIA. That he was absent a lot, did a lot of traveling, and sort of left the operations to the thing that was in place.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's kind of like with Jeff Sessions at the Department of Justice. These guys come in. This is not to excuse them completely from things that they should be doing that would make changes at these agencies. It's just that you're dropped in as the leader of an agency with 1,000 employees, and you're just there as the head of it, and you're depending on your lieutenants to carry out the agenda that you've laid forth, and they've been there for 20, 30, 40 years serving multiple administrations, and they're basically liberals, or they're basically people who may not necessarily agree with your agenda. It's hard to get to the bottom of that oftentimes. So you rely on them to continue
to run it. So I think and there's a learning curve. Maybe Mike Pompeo didn't fully realize all that maybe he's realizing now. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have to say, there are big red flags about her. And remember, that means the CIA will go on business as usual. Yeah. And remember that the CIA was completely co-opted by the Obama administration.
Yeah.
So,
hey, Sandy, what's going to happen during the confirmation hearings then? Does this break down along typical Republican-Democrat headlines? Is she going to make it through or not? What do you think?
This is a hunch more than it is, Ray, inside knowledge, because I don't have it. I think it's going to break down along party lines. I think she will likely get through because if there are Republicans fighting back on the information I just gave you, I haven't heard about it.
Right.
I know that Rand Paul has resisted because he doesn't like waterboarding. But I don't know how much other information. Surely, I just don't understand why Ted Cruz or Mike Lee, some of the other people that are dependable, haven't gotten the memo on her.
But another thing is, I mean, from what you described about her support from Brennan, who's Obama's CIA director, she should get some support from Democrats. I mean, if she's that bad. You know how I mean that.
Yeah.
Yes,
anyway, listen, we got to run. Sandy has all the answers tomorrow morning.
So if you want all the answers, of course I do.
If you have all the questions, then you tune in to Sandy Rios in the morning right here on American Family Radio from 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning. Sandy Rios is also Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and she serves our ministry as our liaison to the Congress and to the government. Thank you, Sandy. Have a good day.
You guys too. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. It's that Sandy Rios. I don't know what to think there.
Yeah, I'm getting cynical on this stuff, and I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying that somebody heading up the CIA, you know, I could see if somebody in a lower level position gets by that you don't maybe know all about them. But when you're
President Trump called her in. And
when you're picking your CIA director, any secretary position, the 12 departments or whatever, you need to do your studying. You and your advisors need to do their studying. And if something slips by, that's on President Trump.
Is that a cabinet position?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, director absolutely. Director of CIA, it is a cabinet
absolutely.
Position.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, here's the other thing with this. I mean, all the mainstream media, and that's probably, you know, our listeners, the mainstream media has been very much against her.
Right.
Because she was there when waterboarding was right. occurring in the wake of 9/11. So that's been the headlines out there, that she supports waterboarding and that she's going to be grilled as to why she didn't oppose that when she was part of the upper echelon of the CIA. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the thrust of the questioning.
Well, Ray, you want to chime in on this at all before we move on?
You know, there's not much to add here, really, Tim.
Yeah, there is. I'm about to add it.
All right. Anyway, I'm just going to vote with Sandy. I think she's going to get through, right?
Yeah.
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 Well, I'll just say this, and I'm just volunteering this. I don't even have to mention this, but I'm for waterboarding. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm disqualified from ever getting that position. I can't understand how in the world anybody would be against waterboarding if it's going to save American lives and you're going to get information that keep terrorists from bombing a plane or blowing up a building or kidnapping Americans or murdering people overseas. Nobody's for willy-nilly doing things like that. And I don't, but at some point you got to trust your government to only carry out those kinds of operations when absolutely necessary. And waterboarding is not killing anybody. It's just making them confess and give you information while they're under duress. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why anybody would be opposed to that, given the situation in the world today. Go ahead, Fred.
Right. Well, I've got somebody who agrees with you. And she was interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends. Her name is Deborah Burlingame. She is the sister of the pilot of the plane that was flown by the terrorists into the Pentagon.
Okay.
All right. So
where was she on? She was on?
She was on Fox and Friends this morning. This is going to be cut number two, Brent. This is what she had to say in support of Gina Haspel.
If she isn't approved, this will further politicize, not only demoralize the CIA, but further politicize the CIA. And when that happens, that, you know, on 9/11, one of the things we learned is that we had careerism, risk aversion in the FBI, and the politicization of intelligence. In the Ghilani case, that was a case right here in New York in the Southern District, brought by the Obama administration and the Holder Justice Department. And in those briefs, this is the Holder Justice Department, they said this was a valuable program that saved lives. And if you don't have to take our word for it, Judge, here's all the evidence. And the judge in the Massawi case said that the value of this program cannot be overstated.
What she's talking about is the information gained from waterboarding that the Obama administration and his Attorney General Eric Holder praised.
Yeah, and we're not, to be clear, we're not talking about waterboarding a fella because he stole a Coke from the convenience shop in downtown Chicago.
Right.
We're talking about waterboarding people who are highly suspected and proven terrorists who have killed people. The military has evidence on it. And they're also non-U.S. citizens, so they're not protected by, quote, due process in the U.S.
Right.
So legally, waterboarding is fully acceptable. Now it's just a matter of whether morally or ethically it's acceptable. And if you study some of the law behind it, it's not really classified as torture, and which, you know, NATO or the Geneva Convention prevent, you know, torture of prisoners of war, etc. Waterboarding is simply making somebody think that they can't breathe when really they can breathe. And so
that's what I'm saying. They're putting them under heavy duress, and you say, I've never been waterboarded, but I'm guessing you say, tell me the information I want to know, and this will stop.
Right.
And that's when they give up the information. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. We're about to talk about the Southern Baptist Convention right now. So the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest non-Catholic religious group in America, I guess you could say. Some Baptists don't like being called Protestants, for the sake of our discussion today, we're talking about within Christendom, I think 17 million or so Southern Baptists
in
America.
That's about right. Yeah.
Is that about right, Ray? You are
that's
one.
Right. I am.
Brett is
yeah.
one. Mm-hmm. Walker's one. Brandon, are you one? I'm surrounded.
We got you cornered.
Y'all got four. I'm surrounded by four Southern Baptists. I go to an independent evangelical church, so that's where our family goes. But what's happening inside the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, we kind of addressed this with Ray last week, but the story is escalating, and it involves 76-year-old Dr. Paige Patterson, who is currently the president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary.
A legend in Southern Baptist circles.
He is. Think of him alongside of Adrian Rogers. He was with Adrian Rogers back in 1980 when they stood on the authority of Scripture, so very well known. The story that broke last week was that somebody went back about 18, 20 years and found an interview with Dr. Paige Patterson, in which he was asked the question about how he counsels people, women who may be in abusive relationships. And I want to play you a minute or so of that interview from almost 20 years ago so that you hear his response, and then we'll talk about what has happened.
What do you recommend for women who are undergoing genuine physical abuse from their husbands, and the husbands say they should be submitting?
Let me respond that it depends on the level of abuse to some degree. I have never in my ministry counseled that anybody seek a divorce, and I do think that's always wrong counsel. There have been, however, an occasion or two when the level of the abuse was serious enough, dangerous enough, immoral enough, that I have counseled temporary separation and the seeking of help. I would urge you to understand that that should happen only in the most serious of cases. There is a severe physical and or moral danger that's involved before you come to that. More often, when you face abuse, it is of a less serious variety, but all abuse is serious. There are two or three things that I say to women who are in those kinds of situations. You must not forget the power of prayer.
Okay.
What were the other two things you
that
said?
That was basically the thrust.
Okay.
And he was encouraging women to pray for their husbands, but
yeah,
also...
Yeah, but that sounded bad. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Huh? It sounded bad. Now, he has come back, and this is a statement he issued about 8 or 9 days ago, all right? He said, I have never counseled or condoned abuse of any kind. I will never be a party to any position other than that of the defense of any weaker party when subjected to the threat of a stronger party. This certainly includes women and children. Any physical or sexual abuse of anyone should be reported immediately to the appropriate authorities, as I have always done. Now, he issued that statement, like I say, about 10 days ago. He has said, and correct me, Ray, if I'm wrong, that he could have made that statement in that interview some time ago. If he had to do it again, he would have stated it in a different way. But he did state back then, 20 years ago, that if the abuse was serious enough, then they should separate. He made that clear. What has happened in the last several days is that an all-out campaign has been launched for him to step aside as president of the seminary there, Southwestern Seminary.
That's the largest Baptist seminary in the world, isn't it, Ray?
It was for years. I think the one in Louisville may be number one now, but it has been the flagship between Louisville and the one in Fort Worth. Those are the two largest and best known, and it has been hugely, hugely influential for a century and more. So it's a Southern Baptist look to Southwestern Seminary as a key place for producing the pastors and leaders. So hugely important.
Right. So what has happened in the last few days? There has been now a letter-writing campaign to the trustees of the seminary, over 2,000 names as of this morning, calling for the trustees to vote to dismiss Dr. Patterson. Also, people like Russell Moore of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, Ed Stetzer from Wheaton, also some of the other leaders, well-known names, men in the Southern Baptist Convention, have called for him to step aside. So, Ray, this seems like an all-out effort for Dr. Paige Patterson to step aside.
Well, clearly, that's what's going on here in this letter-writing campaign. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, it's on the Internet. There are 2,500 names, nearly all of them women, nearly all of them Southern Baptists, calling for Paige Patterson to step down. You have a number of problems here. Number one, he was the leader of the conservative resurgence in the, as you said, Fred, with Adrian Rogers back in the late 1970s. And there are some people who still dislike him for that. They remember that he was standing for the inerrancy of the Bible, and that's in part what is back of this. The other thing is, Tim, as you said, that statement from 18 years ago, which was given in a question and answer session, which is a tough place. I've done a number of those myself. It just, on its face, it didn't sound very good, and I agree it didn't sound very good. I think that the clarification that he gave a week or so ago was very helpful, was very important, but he is embattled. He is embattled, and the other final thing is he's, what, Fred, you said 75, 76 years old. So when you have all those factors coming together, he's supposed to preach the convention sermon, which for a Southern Baptist, the Southern Baptist Convention's coming up in June in Dallas, and the convention sermon is the keynote address. It's the most important sermon. It's the only regular sermon they have during the whole convention, so it's a high honor. There are people saying he should step down from the seminary and people saying he should not be allowed to give the convention sermon. This is a powder keg that is, you know, waiting to explode when everything goes down in Dallas. I think he tried to walk back his remarks to some degree. I'm not sure that's going to be enough to satisfy his critics, who clearly they want him out. They want him gone, which is sad because he's a very, very fine man and a very fine preacher.
Now, Ray, there is the trustees are going to meet in the next few days. Is that correct?
That's correct. And he's the one who asked for that. Paige Patterson himself asked, understanding the controversy, asked the trustees to meet. And I believe it's going to be maybe this Sunday, but they're going to meet and discuss the situation. So there may be some resolution or some announcement to come. This is building, Fred. We're on the front side of this. This is a wave of controversy that hasn't crested yet. And social media, clearly, the people you mentioned, social media is driving a lot of this.
What gets me is this stuff's dragged out 18, 20 years after it's said. And you know what I'm saying?
Right. You could find almost anything
from
almost anybody.
If I could, I don't know Dr. Patterson person, if I could give him the benefit of the doubt right there, He's saying divorce is extremely serious and it should only be, he said he never would counsel, I think is what he said. But he's saying there's always hope in God for people to change, and I would stick it out till you couldn't stick it out any longer, because marriage is that sacred. And I that's what I got from him. If you don't believe, he's for wife beating, and I don't. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more to that. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.